or tee off.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
On Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
It's not Easter Sunday. It's the week after Easter Sunday. Apologies for the technical difficulties on our end. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Kate Jumson with you on ESPN 106.3. Also streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Next hour with us. A lot to talk about. The NFL draft is now away and done with. A lot of reactions coming from there as well. We got Matt DiGregorio, who's a sports anchor over in Mississippi, joining us at around 10:20 to talk about what the Saints did, Shedeur Sanders, and of course Jackson Dart, who were three people that he covered in depth over his reporting career, and get to the bottom of those things. And a lot of reactions over the next hour as you're with us, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Well, we are in the thick of the NBA playoffs. You're in the thick of the Stanley Cup, which has both been pretty excellent, especially with that great Clipper-Nugget game last night. But we're at a point now where you're going to be watching this stuff anyway. You might as well sprinkle some action on it, have some fun over with Hard Rock Bet. Hard Rock's the best because you can get involved with Battle of the Bets, which is where you take one side or the other that they have predetermined for you. 2 days ago, it was the Laker T-Wolf game, and you had to bet the over on both teams getting over 108 points or below 101 points. Whatever side you took, you entered yourself with an opportunity to get a pot of gold, essentially, $280,000 it was. And if you choose that side, you put as many as you want, plus 650 were the odds. And if you win that, you get your bet back, and you get a piece of the gold in that big pot that a Hard Rock puts together. They do this every day, essentially. Battle the Bets over on the Discover page. You could go get started there or put together a parlay. You could check out the Discover page and see what other users put together and tap and tag along. That's how easy it is. It's the app that's acclimated to both sides, the brand new player and the experienced player. Hard Rock Bet. The best part is you get $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. So if you give a parlay, give a prop, give an over, it doesn't work, and you get burned there. But guess what? You get your first $100 back in bonus bets, and you can try again. That's how great it is. It's Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present. Info to the wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. So this was a pretty monumental draft in terms of the storylines that were coming out of it. Of course, the namesake was Shedeur Sanders falling to the fifth round and the Cleveland Browns taking him on top of another quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. Another storyline was the Jacksonville Jaguars trading up and getting Travis Hunter, the Browns trading down, the New York Giants trading back into the first round after getting Abdul Carter at 3 overall, and picking up Jackson Dart at around 25. So a lot of movement. Packers get a first-round wide receiver for the first time since 2002. So a lot of storylines to follow as Kate and I got you here. Now, the one thing I want to talk about before we get to our actual takes is the coverage of the actual draft. I like it. I like the ESPN production of it. I think they kept it moving. It wasn't too long. But some of the personality, and I know we're ESPN West Palm, I get it. How Mel Kiper conducted himself over the entire weekend, I thought was pretty pathetic. I thought that was a joke. And I don't know Mel. I don't know him at all. All I know is that he's been doing this for 30 years. He's sort of the legend in the business in terms of draft scouting. And he sounded like a whiny child the entire weekend. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about specifically Shedeur Sanders. Because Mel Kiper had him as the fifth overall player on the board. He had him at his first quarterback. And when Shedeur was sliding in the first round, Mel expressed his displeasure. Everybody was a little surprised. Oh, he's falling. Who's going to pick him up? And the Steelers pass on him. And then all of a sudden the Giants go get Jackson Dart ahead of him, which is not the most surprising thing in the world, but was a surprise nonetheless. Then you get into the day two of the draft. Where is Shedeur Sanders going to go then? Nobody knows. Then all of a sudden, Tyler Shuck is the third quarterback off the board to the New Orleans Saints, who are a quarterback needy team. Tyler Shuck, who was going to be a 26-year-old rookie out of Louisville, who was Justin Herbert's backup. Justin Herbert, who, by the way, is in his second contract already. So this is an older player. And then you continue. Nobody knows. Third round passes. Where the hell is everybody going? Jalen Milroe then goes. Everybody started calling fire when the Browns chose Dillon Gabriel, the quarterback out of Oregon, over Shedeur Sanders. And whether you want to diagnose what actually happened, I think the real takeaway is that the draft analysts, the people who spend 365 days a year trying to put together mock drafts and who's going to go where, they're usually pretty rock solid. But they are in no way indicative of what the league thinks and what the league as a whole thinks, what front offices think. There is no guarantee that these guys are right. And when they're not right, then they get a little personally offended. That's what I got away from Mel Kiper. I had Lewis Riddick and Mel Kiper telling me after every pick in the first round on Thursday night that Shedeur Sanders was Tom Brady reincarnated. That's who he was. That's what they were saying. After every pick, when we're trying to celebrate Cam Ward going number one overall, or Tyler Warren going 14th to the Indianapolis Colts, or, you know, Emeka Egbuka going 19th to the Buccaneers, the entire conversation is Shedeur Sanders. And then it really capitalized yesterday after Shedeur Sanders was drafted 144th overall to the Cleveland Browns in the fifth round. And they had Rhys Davis, Lewis Riddick, Field Yates, Mel Kiper, a smattering of people at the big desk over in Green Bay doing coverage. And you can find it online. I don't have, it's a long audio, so I can't play the whole thing. But it's Rhys Davis and Lewis Riddick having a pretty, you don't see this in a lot of coverage, especially on site at the desk, a pretty heated debate, a pretty heated argument between Rhys Davis, Lewis Riddick, and Mel Kiper. And it was Lewis Riddick and Rhys Davis basically saying, hey, Mel, the draft spoke here. All right, the NFL has spoken. They've showed their cards. This is how they felt about Shedeur Sanders. Whether you thought it was warranted, whether you thought it wasn't, whether you thought they're wrong. Well, 32 GMs felt this way. The Browns didn't need to get Shedeur Sanders. They got him strictly off the value. He's not even considered on a lot of people's boards. And they said, hey, the draft spoke. This is how the NFL feels about Shedeur Sanders. And instead of sort of accepting it and saying along the facts and conceding the idea that maybe you were wrong in how NFL teams would perceive this player, because that's your job. You're not here to determine, you know, where he should go. You're predicting where you think he'll go. That's the mock draft. You're predicting. You're trying to set a value to what the NFL teams think. And he went on and on about how the NFL has no idea how to evaluate quarterbacks. And you know who he brought up? He brought up Kurt Warner going undrafted. He brought up Tom Brady, famously a late-round pick. He brought up guys from 25 years ago. Mel, these are not the same general managers. These are not the same scouting departments. What, everybody doesn't know what they're doing? Mind you, Mel Kiper is the guy who loved Jamarcus Russell, thought Jimmy Clausen was going to be great. All it tells me is that quarterbacks is almost a crapshoot. That's what it is. It's a crapshoot. Go through all the first-round quarterbacks. How many are great? Single digits? And you got Mel Kiper sitting there on his white horse telling the NFL that they are wrong and that they have no idea what they're doing and that they've never had any idea what they're doing because he was personally offended that his prediction on where Shedeur Sanders would go in the draft was wrong. I thought the way Mel Kiper, and you should look it up online because it was quite a debate. I thought the way Mel Kiper conducted himself was pretty pathetic. You're there to celebrate future NFL stars get drafted on their big day. And the entire conversation is how the NFL is wrong and Shedeur Sanders. Surprise, Mel, you don't interview these guys. You don't have the sit down. You don't have the workouts. You just study the film. You have what you hear. Yeah, you heard from the agents. Maybe you love Deion. Who knows? But you're not Brian Daboll bringing them in for a personal workout, sitting them through. And you can look at the Hard Knocks from last year, the offseason Hard Knocks, where Brian Daboll is grilling the first-round quarterbacks of last year's draft. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Daboll was grilling them. And then Todd McShay reports yesterday that Dable did that to Shedeur Sanders, and it didn't go well. And Shedeur was unprepared. And Dable called him out on it, and then Shedeur got defensive. That's according to Todd McShay. So Mel Kiper, of all people, doesn't see that part. He doesn't see, hey, if I put this guy on my team, am I confident that his teammates are going to like him? Am I confident that the media circus, the whole idea was to avoid the media circus, right? What do you think the Browns are going to be? What do you think the next 6 months of the Cleveland Browns are going to be? With Dylan Gabriel, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and Shedeur Sanders, and Deshaun Watson as their quarterbacks. A media circus. If I'm Dylan Gabriel, I'm pissed. You were behind every eight ball in the book there. And listen, I even think Shador's going to be a pretty solid pro. I think he's going to be a decent player. I think he'll be a good player, actually. But there's something about if he conducted himself poorly in the interviews, which if he fell to the fifth round, I'm assuming that he did. I don't think that's unfair to assume that. This is not a spite because of his father thing. Let's forget that. Deion is still coaching in Colorado. You're not going to see him after week 7, Monday in the building with the Giants. You're not going to see Deion in there complaining that his son's not playing enough. You're not going to see that. This is about how Shedeur conducted himself individually amongst his teammates when he called out his offensive line after the Nebraska game earlier in the year. He said, how many times did Dylan Raiola get touched? Oh, nice, Shedeur. Way to capitalize being with your teammates. And I wasn't there. I wasn't there in these meetings. But to sit there, if you're Mel Kiper, and to condemn the NFL for being, brain dead in their evaluation of quarterbacks because you got one wrong when you've gotten hundreds of them wrong. Talked about Boomer Esiason. You know when Boomer Esiason was drafted? When Bush Sr. was in office. What are we doing? Mel, it's not the same general managers. The Jags general manager, James Claxton, was even born when Boomer Esiason was drafted. Acting like it's a systemic issue amongst the NFL that they can't evaluate the position. Well, why is it that all the top 5 quarterbacks, or the top 10s at least, the first round guys, are usually the ones that are great? And that's a dime a dozen when the guys who fall are terrific. Kate, I want to get your thoughts. I'm sure you've seen some of this.
Oh, I've seen all of it.
Colin Russo, Kate Chumsden on Sunday Huddle, ESPN 106.3. Mel Kiper was pretty theatrical in his displeasure with how the draft, the NFL, had handled Shedeur Sanders. It's almost like he's dying on the hill. I want to get your reaction to that.
This is Mel Kiper's brand, though. Mel Kiper isn't Mel Kiper unless he does this. This is how he makes money. Because not only is he a brilliant draft analyst, he's also a fireball. When he's wrong, he does it for every single player who doesn't go exactly where Mel Kiper thinks he's going to go.
Right, and I haven't seen it this bad though. This was pretty.
This is
as bad as it got.
This is legit, and I think it also was this bad because Shedeur went so long. Right, any player that goes 5 rounds after you think they're going to go is going to be talked about a lot, and also the fact that it is Shedeur Sanders. He's got the media all around him. We've been talking about him for so long. We've been talking about him longer than almost any other player in this draft because of the years we've seen at Jackson State, at Colorado. He's a 4-year college player. We've been talking about this guy a lot, and now this was the big moment, and he goes away for so long. I thought the hilarious part was the rest of the desk almost getting like angry at Mel Kiper for what he was saying.
Reese Davis, of all people, who is as easygoing as it possibly gets, as level-headed as it possibly gets, is sitting there saying, hey, Mel, this is over. He is drafted. Now, he doesn't need the money. Don't make it about that. This is because you are individually hurt that your prediction of where he would go and what the NFL teams thought of him was wrong.
He went like parent mode. I was like, bro, Reese, you good, bro? You good, man? It was like the first time I've kind of heard that. Like Lewis Riddick was along the same lines.
They were frustrated. They were frustrated.
With Mel continuing to pound the issue. And that it was after that huge blowout by those two that Mel finally said, these guys haven't, what was it? Is NFL owners haven't been able to evaluate quarterbacks in the last 50 years.
And it's basically, I know above all, and they don't know anything. The same guy who has gotten, and I know this is his job. You're not going to go 100 for 100. I understand this.
Nobody is.
Nobody is. That's the idea, Mel. The GMs, miss just as much as they make, just like you. Just like you. And I know it's a little hypocritical because I thought the coverage of Shedeur Sanders was, oh my God, bash you over the head. Didn't stop. And we just did the first segment on it. So now we're going to do a little bit more, of course, but we're going to be jumping around a little bit. There's a lot more storylines to take away from the draft. I just hated. The reason I'm doing this is because I hated the way ESPN on television and Mel Kiper conducted that. I hated that. That left a really bad taste in my mouth. Professionals acting like that. Professionals. That was stupid. We got Matt DiGregorio, a sports anchor out of WLOX Channel 13, down in Mississippi. This is a guy who has covered Jackson Dart, covered Shedeur Sanders, covered Will Campbell Jr., who went fourth overall to the New England Patriots. This is somebody who, the Saints, keep that in mind, who have had a strange draft themselves. So we're going to get his thoughts on a variety of different topics. He's going to be joining us live next over the phone. Stick around for Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo and Kate Chumson, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Daisy right, Soli, Blitz right, Travolta right, Pumpkin left, Alert Charlotte left, 0-1.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
If you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call to take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation now. That's 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Kate Chumson with you from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on a beautiful Sunday morning here on the April the 27th, 2025. NFL Draft is away and done with. And Cade, we got a special guest joining us now to do a little breakdown of the draft.
Yes, sir. He's a sports anchor for WOLX Channel 13 in Mississippi. March 2025, he was named Mississippi's Sports Anchor of the Year. He's a good buddy of mine, classmate of mine at Palm Beach Atlantic University. And he's got everything to talk to us. Saints, Louisiana, Mississippi, he's got it all. This is Matthew DiGregorio. Matt, how you doing, my friend?
How's it going, guys?
Appreciate you giving us the time, Matt. So let's start. Let's get this out of the way, because you've done some coverage of Shedeur Sanders, and I don't want to base the whole show off Shedeur Sanders. It sounds like all the mock draft analyst guys were completely wrong on him, and I want to see from your perspective, because you've done some coverage on Shedeur. Are the NFL's concerns from afar, from your perspective, the concerns about whether it's the leadership, how he conducts himself, whether he's going to be liked by his teammates, whether they don't think he's that good? What's your perspective on all this and him dropping in the fifth round?
Yeah, I know there was rumors about like his talent level. I don't think the talent was the issue. I mean, he was invited to multiple All-Star games. This is something that a lot of NFL scouts take seriously. If you go to these All-Star games, you're expected to interview. You're expected to compete in the practices. The practices are the most important part. And when he was invited to certain bowls that he said, hey, I'm not going to go participate in, I think that was a red flag. Then he goes and participates in the Shrine Bowl, but doesn't participate in the practices. So I think that was another red flag that teams were like, okay, what's his deal? And then fast forward to the draft, first round of the day. I mean, I heard you guys talking about Mel Kiper a little bit ago. He was a little bit, I think over-exaggerated in his process through which he thought Shedeur would be. Shedeur's a heck of an athlete. Shedeur is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I think he has the intangibles, I mean, through his dad, that is going to make him prepared for this moment. But his fall, that's going to have to be studied, right? Like, unprecedented. Teams were worried at the end of the day. You don't want to draft a guy who's going to be a backup quarterback with the amount of noise that Shedeur Sanders has and what he's going to come with. And after he fell out of the second round, I think teams were worried about what his drop-off would look like and what the media was going to say about what happened. I asked Kellen Moore, the Saints head coach, about that drop off actually on Friday following the second round after they took Tyler Shuck, the quarterback out of Louisville. And I said, hey, was Shadur on your guys' radar? He said, yes. But he said he was very surprised also that Shadur had fallen out of the second round. They had multiple guys there. They just had Tyler Shuck rated as a better quarterback than Shadur. So, I mean, I don't know if that gives a little insight into what certain NFL organizations were thinking. There was only five teams in the draft who needed a signal caller, really. I mean, it was the Steelers, the Giants, the Saints. Those were the three of the big teams, the Browns and the Titans, right? And when Shadur does not get picked by any of those guys the first time, first, second, third times around, no team wants to take a flyer on a guy that's going to bring that much noise. I'll tell you, at Jackson State, he was a guy that they brought in, and he took the entire state of Mississippi by storm. Literally, you could not go anywhere without being told that Shadur Sanders is in the state of Mississippi. It was ridiculous. He comes with so much noise. It's a huge risk for an organization to take.
Interesting. And one thing you brought up, you mentioned you talked to Kellen Moore after the drafting of Tyler Shuck, the quarterback out of Louisville, who was going to be by the time the NFL season starts, a 26-year-old rookie. That was the first time. Jackson Dart and Shadur Sanders were sort of back and forth. I don't think anybody was too surprised that they took Dart over Shadur. But when they took Tyler Shuck at the beginning part of the second round, the Saints, that is, and they didn't go Shadur Sanders, who was on their radar to begin with, I think that's when everybody started to call fire. It's a domino effect. And the NFL draft is always like this. And the Saints were sort of that first team. Then every other team's thinking, Bo Callahan and draft day. Think about it like that way. All right, they don't like him, so why should we take him here? You took Tyler Shuck. Right. Give me a sense of him. Because this guy is going to be older. He's had injury problems. This guy who backed up Justin Herbert. So in terms of what you're looking for, it's going to have to be a shorter-term answer just off of the age. No? Give me your thoughts there.
Yeah. I know you're correct. I mean, I think the injury to Derek Carr came as a surprise to many. The organization claims to have known about it. I have theories on what happened there, but, I mean, it stems from potentially an injury from last season. So they had to address this position. They had a lengthy meeting with Tyler Shuck in the offseason throughout this draft process. They really liked Tyler Shuck. Some people telling me that they had Tyler Shuck as their second quarterback off the board behind Cam Ward. Like, they love this guy. And, you know, Kellen Moore has never had the opportunity to go get a guy that he has handpicked, right? He had Herbert in LA. He had Dak in Dallas. He had Jalen in Philadelphia. He's never been able to get his own guy. And throughout this process, he fell in love with Shuck. At the Senior Bowl, I saw him. I mean, very unimpressed with him. He missed three out of every five throws. He was leading guys too far. I did not see what the organization saw. Granted, he has intangibles. He's 6'5". He's got big hands. They claim he can survey the field. I mean, he does play with his head up, which is a positive. I mean, as you know, you need that in an NFL quarterback. Do I think it's the right pick? I mean, I can be critical of it. I liked Jackson Dart just because I covered Jackson Dart a lot more. And Shuck, like you said, has played so long. And when he gets in the NFL, he's going to be 26. There's never been a quarterback. Chris Winkie, you look at the list of guys, Brandon Whedon. They're not impressive quarterbacks. So you're taking a real flyer on a guy that I really think is unproven and, like you said, has major injury questions.
Matt, before we go over to Jackson Dart, did Kellen Moore express a timetable for when Shuck is going to potentially take the field with the Derek Carr injury?
Yeah, Derek Carr is going to be the starter if he's healthy. Okay. Shuck is going to compete with Spencer Rattler and Jake Haner for the starting job. I'm going to tell you right now, the way that it sounds, Derek Carr will not be healthy come the season. I would be surprised if Derek Carr puts a Saints jersey on again in his career. I would be very surprised. But as far as Tyler Shuck goes, like I think he is probably going to be your 1A guy. I don't see Spencer Rattler being better than him. He's not talented enough to be better than Tyler Shuck. And Tyler Shuck is very unimpressive, like I said. So I think the Saints, the quarterback position right now, are in trouble.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I don't think the Saints handled themselves pretty well there because they had an opportunity. You don't even need to get – it wasn't the most imperative thing to get Shadur Sanders. You didn't need to do that. If you weren't sold on him, don't get him. Don't feel like you have to settle. But it in terms of looking towards the future and trying to get a little sense of excitement, it's a tricky spot. Matt DiGregorio joining us, a sports anchor down at Channel 13 over in Mississippi Sports Anchor of the Year as well. All right, let's jump to Jackson Dart. You've done a lot of coverage, of course, at Ole Miss with Kiffin and Jackson Dart. There were some questions about Lane Kiffin quarterbacks and Jackson Dart. Yeah. You know, I've watched a lot of Ole Miss games over the year. He's erratic. He's a gunslinger. He throws it down the field. Mm-hmm. He takes chances. I mean, he has his highs and he has his lows. This Florida game, he was terrible. The Georgia game, he was back and forth. But then some games, he's great. Your takeaway with the Giants trading up to get him, it seems like Dable was impressed. But do you think this guy could be a pretty significant pro?
Right. I do. I think he can be a gamer. I think he's more of a work in progress. There's a reason they brought in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. I think that there is I hope the Giants elect to sit him the entire year because he's going to need it. He is a little bit, I think erratic's a great word for it. He can be a little bit of a psycho when it comes to trying to ball out on the field. He does too much sometimes. And him and Lane had a very close relationship, like scarily close relationship where he put all the trust in Jackson, right? And if Jackson failed, Jackson was still going to be the good guy at the end of the day. Brian Daboll's coaching for his job. This is not going to be the same kind of relationship. They have said, you know, everyone says Brian Daboll's a quarterback whisperer, and that goes on. I think that gets forgotten because of the 4.5 years of Daniel Jones and how bad that was up in New York. But I'll say, like, I think if you look at the five spots that I mentioned, the Saints, the Steelers, the Titans, and then obviously the Giants right there, like though in the Browns, the best spot for Dart to land was New York. And I think the people in East Rutherford are going to like what he brings because he has that dual threat ability. No one really talks about that as well. I mean, the guy can extend plays. You mentioned the Florida game. That is my biggest critique on him. He goes out. They still have a chance to go to the college football playoff. They're down a score. They need a touchdown, right? Throws an interception. He thinks the season's over. He walks off the field. He's crying. Then he comes back on the field because they're able to turn them over on downs and does the same thing again, and he is melting down, right? Oh, yeah. That is my biggest critique on Jackson. It was, horrible. You can't have that happen in the National Football League, obviously. So how do you get past that? He still has a lot of maturing to do. You know, you're sitting behind a guy like Jameis. He's going to make the locker room fun. I've dealt with Jameis a lot in New Orleans. And then also Russell. Like Russell Wilson, I mean, he's going to be a guy who's sturdy. I think that's the best word for it. He plays a similar style to Dart. He can extend plays, not the same that he could back in 2014, 2015, but he can still extend plays. And that's what Dart is going to do for New York.
Matt, now, the interesting thing is you said Giants are a good spot for him. I tend to agree. I like how the Giants handled themselves here. I thought the Giants did a good job in the draft trading up. And the good news is, like you said, he doesn't need to play immediately. If people are not sold that this guy can be a day one starter and get the offense together, I think you nailed it too with Russell Wilson. He's a floor raiser. Russell Wilson is going to at least have some semblance of competence, and I think that's the key for the Giants. You need to have some sort of linear trajectory that, all right, we have a goal. We know where we're trying to get. And I think that team is an underrated defense. They now have, like, the best defensive line in the league. They signed two guys in the secondary, Adebo and Javon Holland, in free agency. Yep. It's a very sneaky team, in my opinion. From that perspective, I think if you're the Giants, I think this was the right way in terms of optics. You looked smart coming out of this. And I think that was a big deal for Joe Shane, Dable. You look smart. You're avoiding the actual circus that comes with the other quarterbacks involved. And at the very least, you're coaching for your job. But optics was important, especially after last year's debacle.
Yeah. I second everything that you just said there. I think when you look at what Daboll said, though, after the draft, they're so excited about Jackson Dart, and he knows, like you said, he's coaching for his job, so they could pull that trigger early, which is a real shame because you're gonna need to do something very impressive to stay employed, especially in a market like New York. I mean, you know this, Colin. Like, there is a very fine line when you're not successful. If you lack that success up there, you are in trouble. And Dayball's done that for the last couple of years. And Jackson Dart's a guy who's going to be your scapegoat. Is he going to come in and he's going to pull that trigger quickly? And if Dart fails immediately, Dayball's done. Dart's career could be in jeopardy at that point as well. It is a really, really, really different place than Oxford, Mississippi. So we're going to see if Dart can adjust.
Yeah, that's your back leg. You know, if Russell Wilson comes out there and they start 1-4, people are going to be calling for Jackson Dart.
Wouldn't you just go Jameis, though? Why bring Jameis in there if you're not going to have him be the backup so Jackson Dart can sit?
Because if you're Brian Dable and you're 2-3, you don't necessarily have the luxury for that. Unfortunately, it's a tricky spot. You're going to have to play him just for the optics of the fans and the owner. because if he comes in and plays well, all of a sudden they could sneak to 6-7 wins, and you saw some positives. You saw negatives, but you saw positives out of it. You might be able to buy yourself another year or two.
I think the same thing can happen. I think Jameis is the same enough of a show. If he gets a miraculous win against the Bills or some other big team up northeast.
We know that you're right. He had that against the Steelers last year on that great Thursday night game. But Jameis has his highs and Jameis has his lows. I'd have a hard time seeing that. But I understand the point.
I just need him to buy time so Jackson Dart can come in later or a year afterwards. Yeah. Talking with Matt DiGregorio, Mississippi sports anchor. Matt, by day, you cover the Saints. But by night, I know you're a Northeast guy. I know you're a Patriots fan. They pick up Will Campbell Jr., LSU guy who you've been covering for a while now. Talk to me about how this left tackle can change your team.
I mean, the big stat, 2 sacks that he's allowed since 2022. And he's going against SEC defensive line. I mean, half those guys just won the NFL draft this year. The other half won the NFL draft the year before. I mean, he was the best offensive lineman in the draft. I understand the arm size, and that was a real issue. Really concerned a lot of teams. Can he play tackle in the NFL? I believe so. I believe he can be a left tackle for 15 years in the NFL. He's that good. He is the most athletic lineman in the draft. He was the most athletic lineman in the draft, and he will be proven like that. When you look at Will Campbell as the player, one of the smartest guys in the draft, graded very high in everything except for the tangible elements of his body, which obviously when you're a lineman, you need to have those things. He started almost every game that he has played in his entire career, dating back to high school. I mean, he came up through Louisiana system in Monroe. Then he went to LSU. He just went down the street there at Baton Rouge. And he has been the guy across the country that everyone has been looking to be a 15-year starter at left tackle. That guy, like Tyron Smith, your Teron Armsteads, like those guys are what you can expect with Will Campbell there. He is a locker room guy. I mean, I don't know if you saw his interview after, but I mean, the emotion that he has, he says he's going to protect Drake May to the level of death, right? Like, obviously that's extreme, but when you look at him, that is what you're going to get. You see it right on the surface. He is your good old-fashioned quality offensive tackle who's going to spend years at left tackle in New England.
That post-game interview, the number one thing I noticed, I was like, okay, you are from the South.
Right.
You are red-blooded South man right there. That was crazy.
Yeah. One thing I got to give the Patriots credit for is they had a clear vision in terms of what they were trying to do in the draft. And that offense was terrible last year, and all of a sudden they go in the first three picks. I thought they had three very good picks. They got a speedy receiver. They got a very good all-around running back in Travion Henderson, and they got Will Campbell. So they're kind of hitting every – and they used the free agency to help the defense with Carlton Davis and Milton Williams. I was very impressed with what the Patriots have done here. I think that's going to be a sneaky team if they could take steps forward with Vrabel at the helm. Matt, we appreciate you giving us the time. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of background on Shador, Jackson Dart, and a slew of other things. But we're looking forward to talking again soon, all right?
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it. Matt DiGregorio, of course, a sports anchor down at WLOX in Channel 13 in Mississippi. Kate Chubbs and Colin Russo with you right now on Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Taking a timeout, we got to blitz the book next. Make some picks against the spread. Send you off into your Sunday. Taking a timeout here on ESPN 106.3.
Roadrunner, Roadrunner, Roadrunner.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
April the 27th edition, 2025. Of Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. From the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, it's Colin Russo, Kate Chums, I'm with you. Closing out the program here, we got a lot of NBA action today. We had great NBA action yesterday. The Thunder officially swept the Grizzlies. Golden State took a 2-1 series lead without Jimmy Butler in the late slate in their building against the Houston Rockets as a 7-2 seed. They have the lead in that series. And the Nuggets and the Clippers, once again, a classic 101-99 final. The Nuggets were up 87-67 with about 9 minutes to go. The Clippers followed up with a 30-10 run. And at 99-99, as the time went expired, Jokic missed three. And Aaron Gordon basically had a putback dunk with 0.05 seconds remaining. As close of a buzzer beater, I think I've ever seen. Aaron Gordon won that game yesterday, and they tied the series at 2, steal one in Los Angeles. That series is going 7. And Cleveland dismantled the Miami Heat, 124-87, dismantled them. Oh, my God, were the Heat terrible. So that series is going to be lucky if it gets to 5, but looking like it's going to be 4. You got 4 games today, Cade, And it's time for us to make some picks against it. First, if you want to get started, you're going to be watching these games anyway. If you're a Knicks fan or if you're a Laker fan, if you're a Pacer fan, Buck fan, whatever it is, you might as well sprinkle some action, have some fun with the overs, the unders, the player props, the parlays, you name it, over on Hard Rock Bet. Download it now in the Google Play Store, Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started today because Hard Rock caters to both types of players. Myself, 4 or 5 months ago, I was brand new on the sports betting scene. And so I'm going into this app and I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm looking for. But because Hard Rock Bet has got such a seamless interface and it's so easy to figure out where's what is what, who, what is this, that's how easy it is. And all of a sudden, I knew how to put together parlays. I knew how to utilize profit boosts. I knew how to put together promos. I knew how to tag along on other people's bets on the Discover page. I knew how to do all that. And if you're the experienced player, you could be the other side of the coin. You could be the type that puts those things together that other users can help and tag along on your picks. You could utilize profit boosts. You could utilize Battle of the Bets. That's what Hard Rock Bet has to offer, and the best part is you get $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. That's Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21+ and physically present in Florida. The wager, terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Kate, let's have some fun here. Let's blitz the book, presented by Hard Rock Bet. What's the book presented by Hard Rock Bet? Cade and I are going to make some picks here against the spread. Funny thing is, last week, we made a very peculiar bet in regard to the NFL draft. Because Hard Rock Bet has all these different strange bets that you could tag along on. One of them was, what position was the Mr. Irrelevant player going to be? Mr. Irrelevant, of course, is the last player selected in the 7th round of the NFL draft. So the last player, not who is he going to be, not where is he going to be from, but what position is he going to be? And I believe we took
linebacker. We were close
at +1,000, which was good odds. That was very good odds, actually. So I was actually pretty pleased with that. But it was actually a defensive back, wasn't it?
We were so close. Yes, defensive back.
That hurts. That would have been a great pick. But like, you know, who knows? How do they even set these lines? How do they even do that? Like, what do you just assume of what the most 7th round prospective guys or linebackers or corners?
They have to go through what decades of data to potentially see what they pick.
Yeah. Patriots made Memphis cornerback Kobe Minor Mr. Relevant of the 2025 NFL draft. So we missed out on that one. Not to fear, though. We got some games today.
NBA ones last week, though.
Sure did. So speaking of the NBA, let's make some picks with the NBA picks. Cade, let's start with the early slate, and the early slate is where I think the NBA is at most interesting today, which is weird because the late games yesterday were the interesting ones. But you got the Knicks and the Pistons leading us off here, and the Knicks had a very good win in Detroit 2 days ago. It was Thursday night, and Jalen Brunson played well. I give the Knicks a lot of credit. They're +2.5 though in this one, so the Pistons are favored in their home building. It's 2-1 lead series to the Knicks. Cade, what say you?
This is one of those where I can't tell if all of the money is with the Pistons or just the bookkeepers know something that I don't. Either way, I will take the Pistons in this one.
I'm going to take the Pistons as well, -2.5. The Knicks did what they were supposed to do. They stole home court back. I think this is another series that is flirting with going 7. This has been a pretty much a back-and-forth battle. The Knicks, they got Karl Anthony Towns involved early. Jalen Brunson wasn't falling to the ground every 5 seconds trying to get foul calls. And they were able to close the game in dramatic fashion. Cade Cunningham had a couple crucial misses there in the later part of that fourth quarter, and Jalen Brunson matched it with sealing the game. So it was a close game, but it was the game in which the Knicks, I guess, gave the final good punch. And that was what happened in Game 3. I think in Game 4, I think it's going to be the opposite of that. I think the Pistons are going to play a little tougher today. I think they're going to have some adjustments. And I don't think Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson are going to kill you like they did in Game 3. So I'm going to take the Pistons -2.5. The second game, same line, -2.5 towards the home team. It's Minnesota and the LA Lakers. And this is a tricky one because the Lakers have been reeling a little bit. The T-Wolves won Game 3. And Luka Doncic was sluggish on the floor due to food poisoning or whatever J.J. Redick, whatever lied he conjured up. But they won 116-104. Minnesota leads 2-1. Lakers sort of need the game here. They don't want to fall down 3-1 in the first round. But Minnesota's favored minus 2.5. What say you?
My heart says Minnesota. Well, Minnesota guy on the side. But I saw how the Lakers bounced back in game two after a bad game one loss where we all thought, wow, is this going to be over quicker than we think? I think the Lakers bounced back a little bit. LeBron James had, what, 38 points last night or something nuts?
Two nights ago.
Yes. Luka obviously was a little sluggish. I think he bounces back a little bit. Give me the Lakers. This one could go 6 or 7.
Yeah, Jade McDaniels is not going to have 30 points once again. I'd be surprised if he did. I'm going to be completely honest with you. But the one thing that the Minnesota does is they exploit weaknesses in the Lakers. Minnesota does not have a lot of blatant weaknesses similar to what the Lakers have. The Lakers have Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic, who Minnesota just targets offensively. They target them. They'll pick and roll, and then they'll match up on it. That is what they do with Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. That is the game plan. And it works because that's an exploited weakness that the Lakers actually have. Minnesota's on the other side of that. They just got to go cold for a game or two and see if the offense can't match up.
I mean, what, Anthony Edwards had the last 15 straight points there in the last 5 minutes for Minnesota
great.
Or something like
they
that?
They were great.
Played hero ball.
They were great. And they closed out the game, and the Lakers went completely cold. I would take the Lakers tonight because I'm rooting for a good series. But I think the first four games of a series in an NBA playoff series, I think the interesting thing is that games have different levels of importance to either team. It's important for example, the Warriors win game one in Houston. Game two in Houston is not as important for Golden State as it is for Houston. Because Houston is not only down, they're in their home building, but Golden State already flipped home court. They're going to try hard, of course, but in terms of importance, the urgency is not going to be there comparatively to what the Houston is. I think this is going to be the case for LA. I think LA is going to have that heightened sense of urgency to tie it up at 2-2 and re-steal home court comparatively to Minnesota trying to seal the deal and get up to 3-1. I would take the Lakers because of that, and that heightened sense of urgency I think will be pretty apparent early on. Boston, Orlando today. I've been happy with Orlando. I took Orlando in game three in which they won. Boston's a little banged up, but Orlando is plus 7 at home. Kate?
Last week I said the Celtics would take their first two games and Orlando would steal one at home. So far it's happened. I love picking the favorite team in the series after a loss.
Yeah.
I would even take Boston plus 10.5 or minus 10.5 in this one, not even minus 7. And what's great about the Hard Rock Bet app is you can actually click on the matchup and change the spread yourself. So if you go on to the matchup, I can actually set Boston at plus or minus 10.5 at plus 140 and get better odds instead of the minus 110. That's what I'm taking tonight.
We're 3 for 3 here. I agree with you. I think Boston's going to win. I think they're going to win big. I know Orlando might have, I mentioned the sense of urgency, but I think Boston is championship coded. Orlando is not. They're not going to be able to keep, if Boston gets hot offensively, Orlando, there is no chance they will keep pace. The only chance that Orlando really has is if they could slow down or if Boston goes cold or if they're a little banged up like they were. I think they're going to be a little pissed off and I think they're going to be motivated to close the series out in 5. Last one here on the NBA side, Milwaukee, Indiana. Milwaukee showed some guts. Gary Trent Jr. had like 50 points, minus 4.5 against the Pacers in game 4, down 2-1 in their building. Cade?
Same exact philosophy. The Pacers are the better, more healthy team, and I think they can easily spread, cover this plus 4.5 spread.
Yeah. I agree. I think the Pacers are going to win today, too. They're better than the Bucks.
Yes.
They're better than the Bucks. They play faster. They exploit weaknesses better. They're going to go right after Brooke Lopez all game. And Damian Lillard, who is not up to form, clearly, offensively. And I don't know if that's just going to turn a switch in game 4 all of a sudden. You're not going to get 40 points and 10 threes at a Gary Trent Jr. every day. So I would take plus 4.5 Indiana on that one. NHL, we got a couple today, and I wanted to get your thoughts on a few of them. The Devils play Carolina today. Let's just take a team to win. Devils are down 2-1. I think that's an interesting game. I lean the Devils there as well, but the Blues also play the Jets. The Blues and the Jets has been a very competitive series, and let's take this game because this is interesting. Jets came up 2-0 against the St. Louis Blues, and the Blues boat raced them in game 3 in their building, which is a tough place to play. I think the Blues plus 110 here would be a good add to our pick.
This is the same feeling, and this has kind of been the theme of Blitz the Book today. You remember last year in the NBA Finals when the Mavericks just went off in Game 4 against the Celtics?
Sure.
But no one really thought of it because they knew the Celtics were better. That's kind of where the Jets are the superior team in the NHL over the Blues.
I hate
spreads like this in NHL, plus or minus 1.5 because you got to win by 2.
I'm just going to take a winner. I'm just going to take a winner.
Okay, then I'm Jets.
I'm taking Jets then. Okay.
You mentioned the Carolina game. That one's Carolina too, by the way.
That's your theme. I don't agree with this with the hockey. I agree with this at the NBA.
Okay.
I think the teams, there's a bigger discrepancy between good and great. I don't think there is with this. I think the Blues are going to come out and play really hard again because it's been a very competitive series nonetheless. All right, those were our picks for Blitz, the Book, Kate Chums, and Colin Russo. I like this. And I think the NHL playoffs has been a very good postseason. And I know the Stanley Cup has been a lot of fun, and we got Game 4 between the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
How about the Panthers just whooping on the Lightning so far?
Yeah, they had a bad game yesterday. But yeah, they've played well. This is going to be a very important Game 4. The Lightning boat raced them yesterday, and this is after Florida struck first. Florida scored early. They scored a couple minutes into the game.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the Tampa Bay had 5 straight goals. So this is going to be a very important Game 4. I think Russo and Rizzo, with myself and Mike Rizzo, will be there live on site down in Sunrise, Florida. So looking forward to that. Very big one on the Stanley Cup side of things. Big thanks to Cade Chumson for keeping us up over the air. Big thanks to Matt DiGregorio, the sports anchor out of Mississippi, to keep us updated on what the Saints are doing and what Jackson Dart is up to. Appreciate everybody tuning in to Sunday Huddle. Of course, as always, we'll be back at it next week with hopefully a lot more playoff action to dissect, a post-draft edition. Sunday Huddle, ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.